Now, I've been given the task of looking at the doctrine of faith only and grace only. These are two things that are actually very exclusive of each other, but they are taught by many in the religious world today. Now, I want us to, first of all, look at some verses that are used, that are the verses used that they say teach this doctrine. So please look with me, Romans 3, Romans chapter 3, verses 28 through 30. Romans 3, verses 28 through 30. Paul writes, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith." So this is one of the verses that they say. Now, notice the term "only" is not used in this verse, but it is there. And we're going to look at this, and we're going to look at these verses a little more, some of them. I'm not going to be able to go to all of them, but we're going to look at some of these verses. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. "But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." I say, well, that teaches faith only is what saves us. Chapter 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Go on a few more chapters. Romans chapter 9 and verse 30. Romans chapter 9 and verse 30. He says, "What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith?" Chapter 10 and verse 4. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Now, there's several more verses we could go to. We could go to the book of Galatians and the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. I want to go ahead and look at that because that's where I am going to spend most of my time this morning. But Galatians 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, the teaching today is this, and there's they go, the Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 is one that they teach by grace only. And there is this huge misunderstanding of what the Bible teaches. Psalm 119, verse 160, the American Standard Version says, "The sum of thy word is truth." The whole word is truth. And we have to be very careful. We cannot take a verse and just say, okay, this one thing is all I'm going to focus on. If we do that, we're ignoring the whole rest of God's word. "The sum of thy word is truth." And God's word does not contradict itself. So if what I think or what is preached contradicts Bible teaching, another verse, then it cannot be in truth, in alignment with what God's word teaches. Now, the mindset of the religious world today is this, that we are saved by faith only, that it's just that belief in God is what saves me. And they say, just believe in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. They don't have a verse that says that, but that's what they teach. And they go to these verses and they say, see, we're justified by faith, not by works. And we're going to look at that here in depth today. But we look at that and we see we're saved by grace. And grace is God's unmerited favor toward us. In fact, let's look at a few definitions here, if you would, with me. Let's look at a few definitions. First of all, we've got grace. And I really like this definition. It says, grace is sinful man getting what he does not deserve. That is heaven. Mercy is what keeps sinful man from getting what he does deserve, which is hell. Mercy is given by God. Great that we're not going to get the punishment that we deserve because of our sins. And it's by His grace that we are not receiving what we should, but that we're going to be given that grace and we're going to receive heaven after a while. Grace is offered by God to man, and it is unmerited favor toward man. Now, what is faith? Faith is obedience in belief of God. Now, I want us to look at a few verses in Romans as well. Please look with me in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. We talk about Romans 10, 17. We use that nearly every time we get up. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But look at the context here and understand something here. Let's go back just a few verses to verse 14. But we're going to focus on 16 and 17, but let's look at verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But notice verse 16. It says, they have not all obeyed the gospel. God's grace is out there. If you would bear with me, I'm going to take just a few minutes and look at grace, faith, and obedience there. Grace is that unmerited. We do not deserve heaven. And there is nothing that I can do to deserve or earn heaven. Now, I'm a school teacher. I teach high school science. Now, at this point, if I quit my job on Monday, can't quit it now because we're on the weekend, but if I go in on Monday and I quit my job, you know what? I get a paycheck still. Because I've already worked and I haven't been paid for it. I am owed that money. But understand something. Understand something. I also have a credit card. And I got some things purchased on that credit card. I got to pay that. But what for a second? Let's imagine for a second that I'm like the U.S. government. And I have a debt of $15 or $19 trillion on this credit card. I can never, working multiple lifetimes, ever pay that debt off. But God's mercy and God's grace says, I will forgive that debt and write it off. I'll count it as good. That's what grace is. That's what mercy is. That we're looking at this. God's grace, there's nothing that I can do to earn. But see, we're going to look at this. See, the whole premise of this idea of faith only, grace only, is to exclude works. And there are even members of the church who say this, that I cannot contribute, this is a quote by one of them, he says, I cannot contribute one whit to my salvation. Well, that's not, it's true in one aspect, but it's not true in others. I do not deserve salvation. I do not deserve the love of God. He loved me when I was still a sinner, when I was in sin. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we understand this. But see, it's not just that belief, it's obedience to it. Now, if you look in Romans chapter 1 and verse 10, verse 5, Romans 1 verse 5, look at what Paul says here. Paul did not believe that faith only or grace only was what saved. Look at verse 5. He says, through Him we have received grace and apostleship for faith only. Now, is that what it's? No, it doesn't say that. For obedience to the faith. For obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. And He ends the book with this same idea. Romans chapter 16. Look with me. Romans chapter 16, verse 26. Romans 16, verse 26. He says, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's look at what the Bible says and let's consider what the Bible says. First of all, we need to understand that the main premise, the main background to saying faith only, grace only, is to negate works, because they have a misunderstanding of works. Throughout the book of Romans, Paul uses the term works, and those are works of the law. The Old Testament was very formulaic, and we're going to look at that a little bit more later, but it was this idea of these steps need to be taken, and it was I need to do this. And God said, this is what you need to do to stay in a right relationship with me. That's the works that Paul is talking about in the book of Romans. Not works, not good works. Now let's look at what the Bible says. The Bible talks about that there are different kinds of works. Look with me, Romans 13, verse 12. Romans 13 and verse 12. Paul writes, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Going on to Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. Colossians 1 and verse 21. Paul writes again, and you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So there are works of unrighteousness, works of darkness, wicked works. John puts it this way. He says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So Cain had righteous works. Excuse me. Abel had righteous works. Cain had evil or unrighteous works. It's very plain that we can see that there are works of unrighteousness. There are also, though, works of righteousness. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 10, Paul talking to women. He says, but which becomes women professing godliness with good works. That's what women need to put on. Good works. We go on a little bit. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We go on to Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. He says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So we can see from the scriptures that there are works of unrighteousness and there are works of righteousness. And understand something too. We are going to be judged by our works. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Revelation 20 and verse 12. Revelation 20 and verse 12. the end of the book, the end of the Bible. John writes, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their faith. Is that what it says? It says according to their works. Now, let's take just a second and understand something here. I'm going to go to the end before I even get to the... when you get up here, you start getting things out of order. But I want to go to the end. Luke 17, verse 10. Luke 17, verse 10. So after I've done all that I have commanded to do, what are we supposed to say to God? What do we say to God? He says, so likewise, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Understand something. There is absolutely nothing that I can do to earn salvation, but there is something that I can do to keep it. That salvation is given to me by grace through faith. I don't earn it by any of the works that I do, but I have to do works of righteousness because that's what we just read plainly, clearly, we're going to be judged by. But we still are not earning it in anything that we say, anything that we do. I'm an unprofitable servant. I've done which is my duty to do. I'm doing it because I love God, because I am committed. I gave up being a slave to sin, and I decided to be a servant, a slave of God, and to serve Him with works of righteousness. See, this is the problem. So many in the religious world today, they look at the book of Romans and they don't understand that those works are not, they're works of the law. And those works of the law cannot redeem anybody. They cannot. I'm getting ahead of myself. Apologize. I want us to look at Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. And I want us to, this right here is their sugar stick. This verse right here is the sugar stick that is used to teach faith only and grace only. We read, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We need to be walking in good works. But I want us to look at this. I want us to look at this and consider for a minute. For by grace, the greatest gift that God has given to us is God, is Jesus Christ, His Son. We read John 3:16 earlier. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, Hebrews 2 and verse 9 tells us a little bit more about this. He says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor." Look at this next part. Read it carefully. "That He by the grace of God should taste death for every man." That is that grace of God. That we don't get that hellfire. Jesus took the punishment upon Himself that we deserve death. And He took it and He tasted that death for us. That's that mercy. That is that grace of God. Paul wrote a little bit further, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 16 and 17. "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, who hath loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in all good works, word and works." So God's grace has been provided for all men. Now, Titus 2, verses 11 through 13. I'll give you a second to turn there. This is a very important verse. Titus 2, verses 11 through 13. Paul writes there, "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." That grace, see, here's the thing. They say grace only is what saves us. Okay? Grace has been offered. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Are all men saved? Absolutely not. Jesus said specifically, Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but what? But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And then he goes on a little bit later. He says, enter in at the straight gate. He says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So it is not the case that everyone will be saved. Well, what about faith only? Well, we're continuing to look. Give me a minute. But we're going to look at this. Now, I want us to look at this a little bit more. Let's look at Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. It says, for by grace are you saved. And that is true. God's grace is what saves me. He provided that sacrifice, that substitute for me, that death that I should have endured, that separation. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, the Lord's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, his hand's not shortened that it cannot save, but your sins have separated between you and your God. That sin separates us from God. But God provides, and there's nothing that I can do to get back up, but God reached down through his Son to pick me back up and reconnected. But see, here's the thing. We got somebody who's sitting there, who's on the ground. I'm a pretty strong guy, but if they're a full-size man, if I get Brother Bonner up here and he's down on the floor, if he's not willing to put any effort in getting up, I can't pick him up. But if he puts forth his effort and I put forth my effort, I can pick him up. That's how it goes. But God has given that grace. It has been provided. But look at this next part. For by grace have you been saved through faith. That is a critical part of this thing. It is through faith. Now let's look at what this faith is. We know from Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Go down a few more verses. But without faith, verse 6, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and, big coordinating conjunction there, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, this is the problem today. So many just want to acknowledge God and keep going down the path that they're going. James says the demons believe and they shudder. They just are scared. But they're not, they didn't do anything. And we look, it's not enough just to mentally assent. And the whole chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of faith, every single one of them did something. There is action involved with faith. Abraham didn't just say, okay, God, you're going to give me a great nation and you're going to give me land. He went by faith. He went by faith. Noah built. By faith, Enoch walked. All these people by faith. And we know that Abraham, by faith, when God said to offer Isaac as a sacrifice for you, just offer him to a sacrifice for me. Abraham, it says in the New Testament plainly that Abraham believed that God would raise him from the dead because God had said, through Isaac, you're going to bless all nations. And Abraham had such faith, he didn't just say, okay, I believe you, God. And not do anything. He did it. And that's where, and when we read, that's where it was reckoned to him for righteousness, because he did. He worked. He did what he was supposed to do. James 2, verses 21 and 22. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. That's the English Standard Version. I like that. Look at the King James. The King James says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith worked or wrought with his works, and by works faith was made perfect." Faith without works. And he goes on to say, "Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." See, the problem is, Calvin, way back when he came up with this idea of faith only or grace only, the faith only is Calvinism. When he came up with this idea, he said, "Oh, James, it's a right straw epistle, because it contradicts what I already believe that Paul is saying in Romans. But the sum of thy word is truth." James is as inspired as the book of Romans, the book of Galatians. And so if what I believe contradicts what they teach, what I believe is wrong. And friends, if you believe in faith only or grace only, you need to look at what the Bible says. We need to have a love of the truth. Because if we don't have a love of the truth, we read in 2 Thessalonians that God's going to send us a strong delusion that we'll believe a lie. Because we have no love of the truth. If we are seeking, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, yes, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Are we diligently seeking him? Am I seeking? What am I going to do to serve God? That's what it is. Faith is incomplete without works. Works complete our faith. It's just belief, but it's just an acknowledgement. It's just a safety thing. Well, yeah, I think that's right. Oh, yeah. But without working and doing something about it. See, if I can take just a brief aside, Facebook drives me absolutely crazy. Because I see people who are deceived by it. If Jesus comes first in your life, share this picture. And they go, "Oh, God, yeah, click share." That's not enough. Oh, I clicked share on the internet, and my friends who are all Christians know this now. You know what really would do a better job? Going out and sharing that faith with somebody else instead of clicking just a button. Sorry, but that's just something that drives me crazy. People are deceived and deluded into thinking, yes. Do you know who most of my Facebook friends are? Members of the church, preachers. They already know I believe in Jesus. I don't need to click share. We need to be encouraging one another, but we need to be out there in the world. I'm sitting at home clicking on a little button on the computer screen. That doesn't lead souls to Christ. Going out into the community does. Doing something with this. He says, read with me again. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." That not of yourselves. It is not something that I can use, that I can make up, that will make me right before God. There is nothing that I can come up. Grace that saves is not of ourselves. The grace that saves is a teaching grace. We read that in Titus 2, verses 11 through 13. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us." What does it teach us? To deny ungodliness, to deny worldly lusts, to live. So what not to do? Don't live ungodly. Don't give in to worldly lust. What do? I live soberly. I live righteously. And I look forward to that return of Jesus Christ, my Savior, in His second coming. That's what grace teaches me. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." How does God grant that gift? Is it to everybody? Well, it's offered to everybody, but it has to be accessed. It has to be received. There was a case here in the United States where a man had been tried, convicted, found guilty, and sentenced to death. But he got a reprieve from the governor. He got his sentence commuted. And he said, I don't want it. And the courts were at a loss. The governor just said he doesn't have to be killed. And the courts ruled this. He rejected it. He must be killed. God's grace has been given to all men. But we have to accept it. The sentence has been commuted. All we have to do is accept it, but accept it on God's terms. Let's turn to the Scriptures. Again, we looked at Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Hebrews 5:8-9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to everyone who obeys him. Obedience is required to receive that grace that has been offered by God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now these things, we need to understand these works that he's talking about, that's works of the flesh, that's works of the law. Galatians 2:21, Paul writes, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The law could not save. Salvation is not owed to me by anything that I do. Now, the law of Moses was for a purpose, but it could not take away sin. Hebrews 10:4 says, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. That old law could not, it could only address what is sin. Now, I want us to look at this. And if you will bear with me, this stuff is really good. And if I say it my own way, it's not going to be as good as reading what somebody else put. Because this is very well written, so I'm not going to rewrite it. He says, the concept of law is all-inclusive. It is referring to mankind under the patriarchal system, the Mosaic system, and the Christian system. The concept there is under each. That concept of law. Man has always been under law to God, even in the Garden of Eden. The purpose of the law is stated as follows. Deuteronomy 4:2. He says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. This is to show man how he ought to live in strict adherence to the conformity of the laws of God. Now let's look at another purpose. Galatians 3:21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. The law is to pronounce righteous, or someone to be pronounced just, those who keep the law. But see, the law was there to show what the thing was, but to show man guilty of sin. Look at Romans 3:19. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. The law was a purpose to show man what is right, And it also to show him that he has grievously broken God's law, and that man is a sinner, one who transgresses God's law. John says that sin is transgression of the law. Now look with me at Romans 7 and verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. The old law was designed to show sin and to show that man was out of a right relationship with God because man did sin. And if someone could keep that law perfectly, God would owe them salvation. But see, the problem was, no one could keep that law perfectly except for one man, Jesus Christ. No one else could. Romans 3 and verse 20. The best way to know my condition before God is to be knowledgeable of what is right and wrong. The law clearly shows us what is wrong or sinful. Romans 3 and verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Galatians 2 and verse 21. Paul writes, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The works of the law, doing it, the problem is the law shows what you need to do. And it shows how to try to maintain your relationship, looking forward to that blood of Christ on the cross. But it could not forgive sins. So the law does its job quite well, showing us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is none righteous before God. No, not one. Now, the thing is, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's look at what Paul says. It doesn't mean what they think it does, because Paul didn't understand it to be all, you know, that there's no works that we can do. Look at what Paul says, Philippians 2 and verse 12. Philippians 2, verse 12. Paul writing to the Philippians says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but also now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I thought he said we couldn't be saved by anything we do. He says, work out your own salvation. So obviously the works that he's talking about cannot be all works. It must be works of righteousness that we need to do. This is the works that we can work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. A little bit further, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Paul praised the Thessalonians for their work of faith. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. If God rejects every work of man, Paul never heard of it, because he says that we need to work. We need to do this. Now look at this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Are these works meritorious? Does God owe me because of them? No, absolutely not. These works are works of love, so that we can say, we are unprofitable servants. We've only done that which was our duty to do. We have to have works of faith. Faith only can't do it. We have to have works combined with it to make our faith complete or perfect. Close with a scripture that we read earlier, Revelation 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Thank you very much for your attention this morning.